Your attention has been called in reading in the hymn to praise the Lord. Now once God issues directives to us, they will either be obeyed or it will happen what I am speaking, that will happen of which I am speaking to you about today, and that's darkness setting in. If you abuse light, God replaces it with darkness. And have you ever thought about that, what you heard being read, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes? That's speaking about folk in glory. I don't know what all will be involved in that, and I hope you're not one of the thousands upon thousands of people with the attitude, well, it doesn't matter if I just get there. It does matter. And it scares me with people with that attitude, because generally speaking, their lives testify that they are not going to get there. So as the children's little song, be careful, little ears, what you hear. I hope that God will break in upon your hearts this day, mine, and speak to us. Before I read verse 34 through 36, those three verses, with one two, three, four other places following this a little later on, maybe five other places. But before we read, would you join with me? If not already, having sought the Lord to fix your heart to receive, would you do it now? And if not already, having sought the Lord to fix the preacher's heart and mind, would you do it now as we pray? Our Father, and we're not careless with that term. Realizing what you did to the nearest object in the Godhead, to thee in the Spirit, that's the Son, that we might call you our Father. Worship has all but vanished in our land. And there are no efforts that we can make to gain that, return to that. For it is thy work in our souls. It is you seeking those to worship thee, to adore the Son, be thankful for the Spirit of God that brings the revelation of thy being. Let us not be a people satisfied just to be thanking thee, O God, for your kindness and your goodness, your grace, your mercy. But bring us one step higher, and that is beyond the blessings of God to the God of the blessings. I pray you'd help us this day. I pray that by thy Spirit you might honor thy word in enabling it to be spoken correctly and enabling it to be received as such, the very word of God to my soul. Meet with us, Lord. Give help. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. John 12:34. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever." This is after he told them he'd die. "And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. For he knew that they would not obey. Now, with some thought as to how to title this, I could use the words from Scripture, "Walk while you have the light." Walk before darkness comes upon you. Or believe in the light, that darkness might not come upon you. But I decided that I would use a phrase from an old gentleman, preacher, for several generations of the last generation, that in the closing out of his ministry, he used the phrase that his dad told him and the other boys, "Be home before dark." Now, I never did meet this man, Vance Havner. I heard much about him from other preachers. The most I heard about him was from a dear friend, Jim Beaker, that all of you know. They came up together in the same section of North Carolina, or not far apart. And unless I am mistaken, the best I recall, that they were related. They told about going as often as Mr. Havner got back in that area. He and the family would always go to hear him. So I've heard quite a bit, even this phrase, from one that knew him quite well. Now he was somewhat a little more leaning to the Armenian view than I do now, but not more than I did then. And he, along with most of the preachers that I knew in that generation, were somewhat dispensational, and I was then, but I never threw out what they said. Even now, I will not throw away what they said. They had too much good. And most of them were trained or brought up in schools that had laid hold of C.I. Scofield's dispensationalism, wherein he divided the scriptures up into several different parts. This is for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles, this is for the Christians, this is for those that will not be caught up in the rapture, and so on and so on, even excluding the great Sermon on the Mount, because he said it was not for Christians of our day, but for the Jews of that day. Can't throw away any portion of Scripture, dear folks, or you might void any of the other of it. But Mr. Havner used that phrase from his dad nearing the end of his journey, and he said, "I want to get home before dark. And it's getting awfully dark in this day." That was nigh on to 40 years ago when he made that statement. And the one thing that none of us can say to be correct in that statement is that light has increased since then. It has not. It has gotten much dimmer these last 40 years. But it was growing dim in the beginning, at least the middle of these men's ministries, getting very, very dim. Men that knew experimentally of God, of salvation, and that we have lost today. And these old men that I was privileged to sit under, they talked about how little the workings of the Spirit of God was in the 60s and in the 70s compared to that of earlier years. And it has gotten less and less. Got a friend telling me about his granddaughter, now in college, a young lady who has been speaking with him by phone, and her grandmother, about things of salvation. And that he relayed to me as far as the questions and comments that she has been making gives me hope that God may already have given life there. I don't know that to be true. I will not know that for some years down the road, but I told him, I asked him, do you realize how rare that is in our day? He said, yes. Rare for one now to have any questions concerning salvation. Any concern about eternal life. It's just not happening in our day. And the one thing, I don't know that I would see this. I sure would like to, but whether I see it or not, the one thing that is weighty on my heart are these young ones coming up. It's not getting better for them. It's continuing to get darker and darker. And less do we have the Spirit of God dealing with an individual. I don't know what will happen to them. I don't know. Unless God visits again the church. If you that are in the generation under me, do not think that you are the first that will look at the older generation and think that they are only pessimists and only sounding a low note. Don't think that. I would not discredit anything that I heard from these men. I believed everything they said. I felt something in my own soul as they opened the Scripture to us. But there was that within me that was hopeful that I might see a day more like, more workings of the Spirit of God. So I received what they were saying, but at the same time I believe that my generation might be privileged to see a great working of God in our midst. It has not happened. And you will count me speaking as mostly negative preaching or just an old pessimist. But I was where you are. I sat believing that though these men, and I believe what they were saying about the light growing dim, and about the Spirit of God working less and less. I believe what they were saying, but at the same time, there was that within me that had hope that it might improve in my day. We all think God's going to use us to make things different. But He hasn't. The only thing that's improved since the 70s, when I heard these men, is our standard of living. we have so much more. And there were two or three of them that were born at the turn of the century, one at the end of the 1800s that I got to listen to. And we listen to our fathers, mothers talk about the two world wars and talk about the Great Depression and how they had to labor just to survive and had so little to eat in those days. Our standard of living has really improved. But all that's propped up on false hopes. We're spending that we do not have in our country, called dollar bills. They are of no value. Yet we keep spending them and living, as the old folks said, pretty high on the hog. But it's a lot darker, I think, than any of us know. And the old man closing out, I just want to get home before dark, for it sure is getting awfully dark in my age. Now, if you'll leave your marker here, I want to come back in a minute and read again one of these verses, but prior to, turn with me to Job 23. Little ones with an interest, that's right before the Psalms. Job 23, verses 3 and 4. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He goes on to say, if I could find him and he'd talk, I'd have an ear to hear the words that he was saying. But my question to you is, how few today know anything about God departing? Hiding his face, you not being able to see, closing his mouth, you not hearing anything from him. And how few are they today that have or know anything about an exchange between their soul and God? God talking to them, they speaking with God. I am pretty confident that all of you here speak with God. But what about God speaking to you? Communion involves two. And with God being so silent in our day, so little communion, so little hearing from heaven, so little knowing that's God's voice to my soul. I'm not talking about an audible voice now. You know I'm not speaking about that. But I'm talking about when you open the book of God and there's a verse or there's a passage that strikes you, enters into your soul, and it then has meaning. That's God talking. Are you sitting down here? And there's something that comes into your heart that's beyond the preacher's words. It's God giving meaning and significance and relevance to what He's saying. Folks, you can't miss that you never had. You've never had communion with God. You don't know what I'm talking about. And you know what most in our day go on, because we've figured out a way to get everybody saved, especially down here in the South being the Bible Belt. Most of our converts, the great majority of our converts, go on a presumed assumption that when they pray, God hears them. And it does not bother them, neither does it ever enter into their mind that when they speak, heaven might be shut. And it never enters into their mind this: God does not hear sinners. Your sins and your iniquities have separated God from you. Sin bars an entrance into the courts of heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. You can't say Father if there is known sin in your life, because the face of your Father is hidden. What brought about God turning His head, closing His eyes on His Son at Calvary? S-I-N. If there's no sin, you're going to deal with that first before you expect communion, fellowship, hearing from God. Thy heaven, Deuteronomy 28, thy heaven over thy head is brass. Our words bounce back like an echo into our own soul. Leviticus 26, God said, I'll break the power of your pride, and I'll make the heaven over you as iron, and the earth as brass. Jeremiah 14, their nobles sent their little ones to the wells, to the springs, to get water. They came, but they found none. And they returned with empty vessels. You may walk out of here today with an empty vessel. I don't know. Leave with an empty heart, because heaven was silent. Amos, I think 4, I withheld the rain from the city, rained on another part, withheld the rain, it was yet 3 months to harvest, and your crops withered. Whatever God's planted in your soul must have heaven's rain. or it all withers up. And if you don't take and use the least sound from God, it all withers up in your soul. Walk while ye have light, lest you not get home before dark encroaches your soul. Listen to one whose light, Genesis 4:7, one whose light became darkness. Beginning with verse number 7, Genesis 4. If, Genesis 4:7, thou doest well. That is, you do something about your offering and you do something about your person, because God already said to Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. But now here's light. Fix that which is wrong in your life. And God said, I'll accept you. That's light. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. That's darkness. All things, Ephesians 5:13, all things are reproved and made manifest by light. Whatsoever maketh manifest is light. If God says it, that's light. You're responsible for it. No excuses. Well, God didn't say it to me. If it's in this book, God said it to you. When God commands, when God demands, that's light. And every act of disobedience, if you don't act upon the smallest beam of light shed in your soul by the Word of God, every act of disobedience, darkness begins to replace the light that you had. If God said something 6 months ago and you still haven't acted upon it, darkness is invading your soul. Light, the written Word of God. Light, that the preacher might say, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that's light. Not giving you his little tales and stories and bag of sweets so you can take home all filled up and excited, but the passion reaches only the emotional state and not your heart. The Word of God spoken from your conscience. That's light. You young folks, that's almost an unheard of thing. But your conscience is the inner voice of God shedding light upon your actions as either being right or wrong. Duties of holiness or sinfulness. Condemnation. Paul speaking in Romans 2. That crowd, that they show the work of God by the law being written on their hearts and their conscience bearing witness, either excusing or accusing. And let's get real honest in your own soul today. Your conscience is about inactive, isn't it? Now, you know what the first step of killing the voice of God in your soul, you know the first step of putting out light, when God told you to do something and you said, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. Got too much to do today. I'll make up for it tomorrow. Disobedience brings darkness. Now listen, verse number 13 and 14. Light, when God spoke, now darkness. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Those of you that have the marginal or the fuller extent of the language spoken in those days, it reads thus, mine iniquity is greater than that it may be forgiven. We'll never get forgiveness in this life or in the world to come. You know why? He rebelled against light. God's spoken word. Mine iniquity is greater than that it may be forgiven. Verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And you know the rest of the story. He goes on and he gets involved in life to make up for the void, the emptiness. And God not talking to him ever again. So he goes and builds a city and he starts a family. Because he went out from the presence of God. God was shut out of his mind when he shut out the light of God in his soul. Now reading John 12 verse 35 again to you, if you do not mind. Do you know the language of Job? If I knew where I could find him. John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. A little while. Walk while ye have light. And there's been light shed this morning. I do not know how great the beam may have been. It may have been very dim, as I read to you from Job and I read to you from Genesis 4. May have been, but at least you've had light. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And when Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. They weren't going to heed what he said. And we said they walketh in darkness. That is, they walk. We walk unless God stops our path. Puts a roadblock in front of us. Puts conviction in our soul. We'll always walk in the direction of our natural affections and desires. Always. Luke 11. I think this may be next to the last. Now, I don't want to weary you with length of time today. Many of you come in still sick and ailing. Some couldn't make it because of that. And if you invited me over for a barn dance and eating out tonight, I'd turn you down because I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to weary you, I hope. Luke 11:34. The light of the body is the eye. Now, the eye is the organ that detects objects due to light hitting the objects, and our eyes in the light being able to focus on them. I guess all of you, as did I don't know when you had the power go off and it come back on, but Friday night. And so Saturday night, with it being off, I got out a couple of candles and lit them in the den and lit one in the kitchen. And you know, after sitting there 3 or 4 hours in what would be dark if the lights above are not burning, I began to see pretty clearly. I could tell every object in the room. We've gotten used to very little light. The light of the body is the eye. If your eyes are impaired, damaged, light cannot penetrate, cannot manifest, then you're at a loss as to getting around safely. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. If the eye is evil, the body is full of darkness. Be it covetousness, worldliness, inward sins, unrepented sins actively or sin actively engaged in, you're in darkness, and it's going to get greater. It'll continue to develop. And where light shined upon you, you pulled a shade over it and said, I don't want to do what God asked me there. I'll pick that up later in life when I've enjoyed this whole world. Probably you won't, because your world's getting darker and darker. The eye Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the dictates and the affections of the heart direct our steps. And that's our eye. If thine eye be evil, and there's a list of things that go with that. I can't remember Matthew. If your eye is evil, that directs your steps. Jesus said, the children of the kingdom, looking at the Jews, Israel, shall be cast into outer darkness. They got closer to God than any other nation. They had the divine oracles of God. They had the word of God. They had the law of God. The Shekinah glory of God, the cloud. And yet, that light turned into darkness. And they now are in outer darkness. One last. Jude. Little book of Jude. Jude 12, 13. These are spots in your feast of charity. They're with you in all your gatherings. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They eat the same food the children get. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Wind blows this way today, then that's the way they go. Tradition, current affairs, current events, current quote-unquote gospel preaching has more weight with them than true. Cared about whatever wind's blowing. Trees whose fruit withered, they started out, then finished without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. Therefore, we're in one or two categories sitting here today. We are having light shed. We are feasting upon the good word of God with fear and in trembling. Or the word has nothing to say to us. And yet we sit feeding like all the other children, but there's no fear. Wandering stars. You got to get stability in your heart to walk with God. To whom is reserved, now listen, not just darkness, but the blackness of darkness. There are degrees in heaven. The Lord speaks about one star outshining another star. God speaks about rewards to His servants. Rewards to your faithfulness over the ability God has given, the talents, the gift God has given. You've got a good mind, that's a gift of God. You got hearing ears and seeing eyes, those are gifts of God. And the Lord gave to one 10 talents, the one 5. And God, Christ, had the same commendation to both, because they put to use. The one had 10, he put them to use. The one had 5, he put them to use. And Christ said the same thing. Well done, good and faithful city. Good and faithful servant, be thou over thus and thus. But to the one that did not put his talents to use, reserved for the blackness of darkness. So there will be rewards in heaven and there will be degrees in hell. You can have the blessings of God or some of the greatest curses of God. So can I. And the old man, I do not say that disrespectfully, but he said, my dad said, boys, be home before dark. And he said that he wanted to get home before dark that he might not bring shame and reproach upon Christ and the gospel that he had preached for over 70 years. And he had seen many that had preached for a good while and quit. And one of the men that had a large camp meeting, I think, ending of summer every year down in Florida, that brought in some of these old men, gifted men. He quit. Started managing a big gospel group. Left his wife and his children. He quit. And I'd rather God take me now. And he knows my heart and the honesty of this. Than for me to bring reproach upon my Savior. And discredit to you and to your children anything they may have gained from my preaching to them. So I am as he. I want to get home before dark. And yet there's that within me that would like to stay around, hopeful of a little light to convict and convince these young ones of their sinfulness, depravity, and utter need of Christ. But I don't want to stay around and bring reproach on my Lord.